Hey folks, here are OS Reviews. You're watching our video first look and a quick review of the JT Mobile Smart 2. This is a fairly low-cost and budget-oriented unlocked smartphone that sells for about 80 bucks online. You can also pick it up with an exclusive plan if you are getting it from Telestial, which is a subsidiary of JT Group. And as far as specifications are concerned, again, this is really just meant as a budget phone, perhaps for kids, perhaps as a backup device, and especially if you're just traveling and you need something ultra cheap, but still want a few smart functions on board, just for web browsing as well as for taking images. So that includes a 3.5 inch TFT LCD display, so it's a capacitive screen that does support multi-touch, but the resolution is 340 by 480, so definitely last gen by today's, you know, ultra competitive standards, but it is an unlocked dual SIM phone, so you can support up to two full-size SIM cards, and also has a expandable micro SD card slot behind the back cover that we'll talk about later on. It does have, again, have that camera functionality, and there's also a front-facing camera as well, which is capable of video conferencing and Skype calls. We do like to see that a secondary camera is included at this price point, especially since a lot of these lower cost phones tend to omit that functionality, so at least you can still use this for communication purposes with friends and family. Otherwise, it includes 4 gigs of built-in flash storage, again expandable, and you are limited to essentially 2G connectivity, so there isn't 3G or 4G, but again, that goes hand-in-hand with the rather low-cost kind of international plans that Telestial is pushing with this phone. It also has, again, of course, Wi-Fi as well as Bluetooth, the standard connectivity options that Android phones typically have, although in terms of specs, again, it's not the fastest phone in the world. It doesn't have a quad-core processor, it doesn't have loads of RAM, but it does work, and it works fairly well. There are 3 Android controls on the bottom, which are capacitive, and what's interesting about these controls is that they actually are very sensitive and they take up a larger size than the icons would indicate otherwise. So if I unlock this phone for a moment, and you can see here how the home key looks like, it's just here. If you tap on something, it vibrates and gives you haptic feedback, by the way, but I don't even have to tap on the icon. I can tap onto the very top here, and you can see it does the same thing, takes me home. I can tap on the bottom here, and it takes me also home. So there's a lot of extra space, a lot of border. It seems like the entire touch-sensitive area extends all the way to the very bottom edge of the phone. And although it's kind of cool from a tech perspective, it makes the phone not as easy to use sometimes, since if your palm accidentally hits the corners, it triggers something, even though you're not tapping on the button specifically. So that is one of the interesting things. It seems like JT made the entire surface touch sensitive as opposed to only points on a button. So kind of interesting there. Otherwise, as you can see here, a very stock install of Android is on board. You don't have the latest and greatest, but you can still have access to standard things like the Google Play Store for downloading applications. You have access to Gallery, and there's a few preloaded apps on here from the company, like a travel app that allows you to monitor your minutes as well as get more updated information. There's a Google search bar as well as a clock widget, and it comes with a few preset wallpapers that you can customize the phone with, which are pretty fun to play around with. For some reason, this Mario version here that you see has been pre-installed, so kind of fun. Otherwise, you can see here that you have access to things like a standard array of Google services, like the calendar, as well as Gallery, Google Maps is on board, Google Gmail. There's also a basic browser, as well as a YouTube client, and you can use the torch function from the LED flash on the camera on the very back. So all of those things are fairly easy to use, and there's also additional widgets that you can download and customize and populate the home screens with. But of course, you are getting not the latest version of Android. So again, it's really just meant as a quick travel companion when you are traveling abroad. So taking a quick look at the camera on the back here, it has a fairly decent design going on in the back. It has this squared look, as well as there's a mono speaker in the back along with that LED flash. Camera quality isn't the best in the world, but it does work, and you can also record videos quite easily. So if we take a quick look at that first, I can actually slide into the camera app directly here, and allows me to quickly take a few shots. Despite the fact that it has 4 gigs of built-in flash storage, a lot of that memory is taken up by the operating system, which means that you have to insert actually an SD card first before you take a lot of those images. But it is a fairly default kind of overall viewfinder, as well as an application in terms of settings. Colors are fairly accurate looking and are nicely balanced looking, but resolution gets a little fuzzy if you zoom all the way up, as well as sometimes focusing becomes a little bit of an issue. It takes a solar amount of time to completely focus, but it does work, and you can turn flash settings automatically on or off. You can switch the camera to the front, again for Skype conferencing, and that works nicely as well, and it can detect motion automatically and then capture a shot. And there's also, again, the ability for you to record video. So all those things are fairly standard and does work pretty well. So if we take a quick look at some of the other applications next, we're going to do a look at the web browser next, so let's go. All right, so web browsing, you have just the WebKit-based standard browser built onto the unit. But of course, using the Play Store, you can then download something like Chrome or maybe Firefox if you prefer those options instead. Again, since it doesn't have the fastest processor in the world, more complex pages will take significantly longer to load, even using Wi-Fi, but overall, it's not too bad. As you can see here, we have the full version of the New York Times being loaded up using Wi-Fi, and this is a good benchmark as a super complex site with lots of different elements, videos, embedded ads, so if it's able to display this, then you do have a pretty decent experience on here. Again, there is a pretty lucid pinch and zoom support on the touchscreen, so that's not really an issue here, and overall it remains a decent web browsing experience. Again, it just takes a bit longer for pages to fully render and load, but once they are loaded up, it's great for checking out some quick news articles. If you want to use the YouTube app to watch a few videos, it works nicely as well, despite viewing angles not being the best in the world. Again, you do have access to that dedicated YouTube app if you want to do a quick video when on the go. As far as playing back games, this will work with Pokemon Go, so that's a commonly asked question that I've been receiving, but it's not the smoothest experience in the world. Despite not looking like it, Pokemon Go actually drains your battery quite quickly, and I had to wait about a minute and a half the first time when I opened up the application for it to load, so that's a lot longer than if you're used to on a flagship Android device. Afterwards, there was occasional sluggishness, as well as sometimes the app would freeze as well as close, but it does work all in all. Not the best experience in the world, but again, that does show that this phone is technically capable of playing back more popular titles and games. As long as you're not opening up too many apps in the background, I think you will be fine. Be a bit more patient with this and it will again eventually work. So going back into settings here and just taking a quick look at some of the things on here, you can of course change profiles like the screen brightness, there's this accessibility, changing the time and date settings, and if we tap on about phone, we can take a look at the Android version, which is indeed Android 4.2.2. So Jelly Bean, not the most up-to-date thing in the world, but it again will work with Google Play as well as services like Maps for turn-by-turn navigational services and so on. So forth. So at the end of the day, the JT Smart 2 remains a fairly reliable, low-cost, budget-oriented Android smartphone. It's an unlocked phone that has good call quality, which is loud, clean, and crisp sounding, and it remains a decent web browsing experience as well, even though it doesn't have the most intuitive design, and also I think that the choice of making the entire bottom of the unit touch-sensitive is a little bit difficult, because sometimes you'll accidentally hit keys once or twice when you're using it. All in all, it's fairly portable, and it's also a great low-cost alternative, especially if you're picking it up with a prepaid plan on Telestial and JT services. You can check out more details about this phone in our official written review, but for now, this has been our video. Thanks for watching here at OS Reviews. This has been the JT Telestial Smart 2.